Hare Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, starting with text number 2. Yadoscha dharma shilasya nitaram munisattama Tatram shenavatir nasya Vishnor viryanis shamsana Yado of Yadu or the Yadu dynasty. Cha also Dharma Shilasya, who were strictly attached to religious principles. Nitaram, highly qualified. Munisattama, O best of all Munis, King of the Munis, Shukadev Goswami. Tatra, in that dynasty, Amshena, with his plenary expansion, Baladeva. Avatirnasya, who appeared as an incarnation. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Viryani, the glorious activities. Shamsa, kindly described. Naha, unto us. Translation on purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O best of Munis, you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who are very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladeva, his plenary expansion. The Brahma Samhita 5.1 explains that Krishna is the origin of the Vishnu Tattva. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Yasaikanish Sita Kalam Ata Valambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nata Vishnur Mahansaiha Yasya Kala Vishesho Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Brahmas, the heads of the innumerable universes, live only for the duration of one breath of Mahavishnu. I worship Govinda, the original Lord, of whom Mahavishnu is but a portion of a plenary portion. Rama Samhita 5.48. Govinda, Krishna, is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Svayam. Even Lord Mahavishnu, who by his breathings creates many millions upon millions of universes, is Lord Krishna's Kala Vishesha, or plenary portion of a plenary portion. Mahavishnu is a plenary expansion of Sankarshan, who is a plenary expansion of Narayan. Narayana is a plenary expansion of the Chaturvyuha, and the Chaturvyuha are plenary expansions of Baladeva, the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna appeared with Baladeva, all the Vishnu Tattvas appeared with him. Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadev Goswami to describe Krishna and his glorious activities. Another meaning may be derived from this verse as follows. Although Shukadev Goswami was the greatest Muni, he could describe Krishna only partially. Amshena, For no one can describe Krishna fully. It is said that Anantadeva has thousands of heads, but although he tries to describe Krishna with thousands of tongues, his descriptions are still incomplete. So it's hard to speak about the 10th canto. So here we find out that Krishna's position is unique. He is the origin of all the Vishnu tattvas. And we have also this reference from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter. There is a list of expansions. And at the end it said, Ete cham sakala pumsa Krishna stuv bhagavam svayam. It says that, yes, all these are expansions, but Krishna is the origin. So Krishna is the origin of everything, of all Vishnu Tattva, and of course of everything. And it's described also here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada says that no one can talk about Krishna fully. No one can comprehend him fully. As a side note, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had a newspaper which they were publishing weekly or daily, I don't remember. And someone said, what can you say about spiritual world every day? You know, like, what's this? And he says, no problem. We can write a newspaper every second. Every new second is new, because it's always new. That's somehow side note. I wanted to talk a bit about something we will see a bit later. There's a very interesting fact. When Krishna is born, there's very interesting. Vasudeva and Devaki, they know that he's God. That's very, very interesting. And they understand, because he appears as Vishnu form, with four arms, and Vasudeva knows that he's God, and he prays to Krishna, as okay, we know you're God, we know you're the origin of everything. And then there's a very, very interesting fact that Devaki is scared, you know, which might sound strange, you know, like Devaki is thinking, oh, now we have this small child, which is Vishnu, all-powerful Vishnu, the origin of everything, and she is scared of Kamsa. Kamsa will come and he will kill Vishnu. So you can think, how is that? You know, like it's strange, no? it can sound strange, you know, like if you know someone is God and is all-powerful God. How can you be scared for him? No, no. But actually, Devaki, she's actually afraid that Kamsa will kill Krishna. So then she said, "Okay, maybe you don't appear as Vishnu. This is a bit too far out. Maybe you appear with two arms." And then she's thinking, "Okay, then we can do something. We'll protect you somehow." So of course it's. Somehow strange. How can you protect Krishna, who is the origin of everything? Who is he doesn't need protection. But the idea is that the love is so high. There's so much love, and that this overpowers somehow. You can say overpowers like the facts, the intelligence. So Devaki is actually covered by Yoga Maya, and she's thinking, "Oh, this child needs my protection." Like you have many similar cases. You have Mother Yashoda when Krishna is eating dirt, she's thinking, "Oh my God, Krishna is eating dirt. He will get sick." I mean, how can God get sick, you know? But she's thinking like that. the father of Lord Chaitanya, he's doing so many things, and he's thinking, oh, this is my son, I have to discipline. And some people tell him, oh, look, but this is Krishna, this is God. No, I don't care, this is my son, I have to I have to discipline him. So that's one of the opulences, one of the maybe most attractive opulences of Krishna, with renunciation. He covers his position as supreme just to increase the love of his devotees. And he actually makes himself dependent on the devotees. That's quite amazing. In a purport to Bhagavad Gita in first chapter, when Arjuna is asking Krishna to draw his chariot, Srila Prabhupada explains a bit this. He says, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of a charioteer of his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. It doesn't mean that if he's a charioteer for Arjuna, he's not God anymore. He is. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikesha, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotees. And this is the nicest part. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. Since he is the master, everyone is under his orders and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is the infallible master in all circumstances. So actually, Krishna finds great pleasure in becoming dependent. Of course, we should not start ordering Krishna, Krishna! Unless we are on that platform, and probably we're not. But we can apply this in some way. He likes to become dependent on us. I give just a simple example. We have some deities, and these deities they eat a few times per day. Five times? How many times the deities eat per day? Five times? Six times? Five. Some. So they eat five times per day. So they are dependent on us. If you don't give them anything to eat, they will not eat. So that's one way of... they act like they are thinking, oh, please, 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 we need something to eat. It's 7 o'clock, we need something. Please give something. Some sweets, we really like sweets, please. So that's a very interesting position. And they also gave this temple, and they cannot maintain the temple without us. And they're like, please, please, can you help in maintaining this temple? Can you, please? And of course, they give some mission of also. They usually like that the temple is full of devotees. So that also includes that we have to go out and bring some new devotees. So, which would come once, twice, maybe even, and they will join the temple. So that's one way to understand how Krishna can become dependent. We were talking at some point with Soumya Dattri Mataji, And she said that I came to Krishna. It was half joking. She said, "Oh, I came to Krishna consciousness, and I was looking. They told me that I will be free from stress." Like when we go for Sankirtan, we say, "This is books on yoga and meditation teach you how to get free from stress." And then she's like, "No, and now after so many years, I understand that they lied to me." Krishna consciousness doesn't teach you how to get free from stress. Actually, it's only half lie, like all good. If you come to Krishna consciousness to have a, to chill, to have a good life, peaceful. Hare Krishna. I chant sometimes Hare Krishna. Okay, good. Prasadam. Yes. If you come for this, then you're probably in for a surprise at some point. Śrīla Prabhupāda says in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter. Oh, why did I copy it? Okay, it's different. He says, sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place, where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or Bodhi Yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. That's what Prabhupada says. He said that Arjuna wanted to avoid fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. So sometimes we also want to avoid stress. I don't want to, so much stress. Why so much stress? This we should maintain this temple and we should go out and preach and should do that and we should that. Too much. But actually, what we should do is to feel responsible. Like, to feel that Krishna is dependent on us. We should feel that, okay, oh my God, Krishna is hungry. And he will not eat if I don't feed him. I mean, if you can see what's your... everyone should see what's their responsibility in this. But that's the idea. You should see, okay, Krishna will not eat if I don't cook. Oh my God. Serious responsibility. And we should really feel like that. And we should feel, oh, Krishna's temple... How will it be maintained if I don't do this service, that service? Or people will not come out if I don't go out for preaching. So we should think like that. In the beginning, we feel, oh, there's this responsibility of Krishna. This is Krishna's temple. He's all powerful. He should do it. It's his problem. And then you feel like, oh, it's maybe it's Srila Prabhupada's responsibility. He will find someone, no problem. And then you find, okay, this is GBC's responsibility. Yeah. GBC is something very vague, you know, like someone. And then we say, okay, this is temple president's responsibility. And so on. We'll find if it's cooking, it's Bhakta Vatsala Prabhu's responsibility. He's the cook, so we don't mind. So, and at some point, we should feel that something is my responsibility. This is mine, and I will do it even if I like it or not. Even sometimes people come and to Krishna consciousness or some programs or there are these spiritual groups that I feel like doing this and tomorrow I don't feel. And I'm doing whatever I feel. Because if I feel, I will do it, and if I don't feel, I won't do it. Okay, so this Krishna consciousness is actually the other way around. First you do it, and then you feel. Like, I think there was one incident with Srila Prabhupada, and some devotees said that I will pay obeisances to you when I feel. And Srila Prabhupada said, first you pay obeisances and then maybe we'll see if you feel. So this is a first platform of, it's not even spiritual life, you know, it's even material life. It's first platform is that of understanding we have a duty. Oh, this horrible world, duty. If you come in the West and you tell people you have a duty, they're like, I don't want to hear either, don't worry. No. Like, oh my God, duty, I have to do something. But this this dharma, this understanding that we have a duty will get us past this emotional platform, that today I feel and tomorrow I don't feel. No, I have to do it. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says in another purport in Bhagavad Gita, he says, the Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. This is the favorite purport of Lomanchita Prabhu. He's already finding this. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out. With dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Shri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord, he had only to execute his order. Says Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord, he had only to execute his order. Sometimes they have these jokes about the brahmacharis, the hardcore brahmacharis. They're like, what's the order of the spiritual master? Oh, this, okay, let's go. They're full on. They don't, I'm not like that, but I heard that's how the hardcore brahmacharis are. They're like, okay, what's the order? What should we do? This, okay, let's go. What? Doesn't matter. Okay. So that's one idea we can discuss today, that Krishna makes himself dependent on us. So he gives us the opportunity to take some responsibility for his service, like maintaining him, cooking, maintaining the temple, preaching. And this is stressful, and it's meant to be stressful, but this kind of stress is purifying, and we should not run from this stress, because this kind of taking responsibility, this is what makes us advance in Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, that's the idea. I'll stop here if there's some comments, concerns, questions, complaints.
Krishna. I was thinking about what you're saying about feeding the deities to give them their bhoga. One time I got like quite big Jagannath deities. They're like more festival deities. They were from the college and they could not take care of it, so they came to me. And Gumaraj asked later on, he said, how are the deities doing? I said, yes, okay, Gumaraj. And then he said, okay, if you keep on feeding them, they will stay. If you don't feed them, they will go away.
Yeah, that's the idea. At one time, Prabhupada went to a temple, and he saw that the deities had bad garlands, and he was very, very upset. He said, "If you give them these garlands, they will just go." So, yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.